Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Use a fishing analogy. If we're going fishing and throwing a hook and bait into a pond, any fisherman knows that on any given day, you have different fish and they're responding to different bait, right? And not to like reduce people to fish and bait, but the analogy works pretty well is that if you want to capture the maximum number of fish, you got to be prepared with the bait that they're going to bite on.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, what's up, everybody? Rick Mulready back with you here for another episode of the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. This is episode number 65. Super pumped to bring you today's episode because I've got my good friends Jason Van Orden and Jeremy Franson from Internet Business Mastery on the show today, where we're going to be talking about creating automated marketing systems in your business and how paid traffic can drive those systems. Now, if you're not familiar with who Jason and Jeremy are, they've been podcasting for 10 years now over on their podcast called Internet Business Mastery. It's a great show. I've been listening to it for a few years now. So if you've never heard it, definitely check it out. It's a really good show. And over that time, they built a multi-million dollar business, and they're really smart when it comes to being able to holistically look at a business and figure out where the opportunities are to increase revenue in that business. And we're going to be talking about that here today. So today you're going to learn things like what Jeremy and Jason refer to as I'm saying this air quoting, the traffic myth, and where you should be focusing instead. We're going to be talking about what the choose your own adventure system is and how to use it to move customers towards spending increasingly higher amounts of money with you and your business. We're going to talk about six ways to scale a business, how to use a minimum viable funnel to show quick results in your business, how to increase the lifetime value of your customers, how to create real wealth from your paid traffic. We've got lots of gold in today's conversation from a couple of guys who have been doing this stuff for a very long time. All right, let's go hang out with Jason and Jeremy. All right, Jason and Jeremy, welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. How's it going, my friends?
Hey, good, Rick. Hey, thanks for having us here.
Yeah, really good. It's exciting to finally be on.
I know. It's way, way overdue. And I'm excited to be talking about something that the three of us have kind of talked about before. Obviously not here in the podcast, but really interesting discussion that you guys like to call the traffic myth. And it's basically, and I'll let you guys describe it, but I'll kind of get you going here, how people put too much emphasis on free traffic when it comes to growing a business. You know, they really think that they just need more people to come to their site to get into their funnel or to become, you know, part of their prospect list when that really isn't the issue. What do you guys mean by the whole traffic myth?
Yeah, well, clearly, when you start a business, you got to get people in the door. And there's a lot of focus early on in internet business of, you know, establishing your platform. Maybe that's a blog, getting your email list started, and, you know, hoping to get some search engine traffic, maybe some social media traffic. People love that free traffic because, you know, I get it. When you're bootstrapping a business, you might not necessarily have a whole lot of money to start dumping into paid traffic, especially when you're still trying to dial in who your audience is and what it is that they want. But the problem is, once they get to making some money, so now they've got an offer and they've shown that their audience wants that offer, and you know, maybe they still have a smaller audience than they need to get to whatever their income goals are, because of that early focus on free traffic, for some reason the thought is, well, I just need to get twice the amount of traffic, or three times the amount of traffic, or 10 times the amount of traffic, and that's how I will 2 times, 3 times, 5 times, 10 times my income as well. The problem is that that is the slow way to do things. I mean, when you think about it, most free traffic, in fact, pretty much all free traffic, it's not the kind of traffic that just shows up overnight. It takes a little while to build a social media following. It takes a little while to get your search engine rankings. The other problem is that it's not the most dependable
traffic.
And if we look at, I mean, all we have to do is look at like the last 5 years with Google to prove that that's true. I mean, we all know people who have lost considerable amounts of income because their rankings disappeared overnight. You know, maybe it's been long enough for people to have forgotten the Penguin update and all the other updates that happened with Google. But, you know, people drop out of the first page of the rankings. And if that accounts for, you know, a third of their traffic, that's a big dent that all of a sudden happens in their income. And
which happened to us.
Yeah.
And we don't do any sort of like SEO finance, you know, like trying to game the system or anything,
right.
But we were number one in internet business. And then we were like 15, and all of a sudden all these government sites, like, do you know what I mean? Like Google decided .govs meant more, and they're talking about business in general. They weren't even talking about internet business, and all of a sudden they filled up the spots. We didn't do anything wrong. You know what I mean? Like, and it's so weird how you can just get bumped, and it doesn't even matter if you stay really true to what Google's trying to do with search or not.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a scary place.
Yeah, you're just at their whim, if you will, because they can change overnight, and that can really screw you guys up pretty, you know, not just you guys, but any of us up. If we're relying on that type of traffic, it can screw us up really well.
Yeah. And it's the same thing for social media platforms too. And just to be clear, we're not saying don't use these things for traffic, but it's not the way to grow a business once you're making some money and have an offer that works. But, you know, just to quickly to finish up the whole dependability thing, you know, if you've got a Facebook group or a YouTube channel or a strong Twitter following, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, they own that following. Like, it could disappear overnight. They can shut down your channel. They can decide groups are going away. They can, you know, it's up to them. And that's why it's so important to have control over, and that's why we all have email lists, of course, but it's also just why it's so important to have that, those traffic sources that are dependable, that aren't going to just go away, overnight. So it's slow and it's not dependable to focus on all this free traffic and just getting more traffic in the front end of the door.
And one other thing I wanted to add really quickly is there's a ceiling. So that's what happened to us, even with podcasting, with all the things we were doing. We finally hit a point where it's as much as we could get in those free markets, let's call them, right? Like, we hit these different ceilings where our traffic, you know, wasn't going more no matter what more we put into it. And that's one of those things that can be frustrating, especially when you've been doing it for years and you know you can help people and you just really want to help people, but you can't ramp it up. You can't go to Facebook and go, hey, can, you know, without paid traffic, you can't go, hey, just send more people to us.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Well, you know, why not?
Right.
Let's just do this. Or you can't go, hey, iTunes, you know, make more people come to the podcast, you know, internet business category.
Sure.
You know, it's just, you know, we've been number one in internet business for so many years, but there's just only so many people that are going through that one channel, which, you know, we've been able to really connect with. But if only, let's say, 1 million people are coming a year, then only 1 million, you know, you can't do much more about that.
Right. Right. So then when you start to shift sort of your mindset to focus on paid traffic, how do you guys recommend choosing, you know, either one or a couple of different avenues of paid traffic?
Well, it all comes down to where can you most likely find your audience and where can you target in on them best? I mean, as you've talked about on your show, it's all about the targeting. And so like Facebook is wonderful for that, obviously, because you can target so well. In the past, it's been AdWords, and it's the same thing happening now with Facebook ads, where there's this huge opportunity, the number of people flowing into it because of the power of it is just immense. And we saw it happen back in the, you know, the mid-2000s with AdWords too. And so, you know, but some people might be thinking, well, my audience isn't there on Facebook. I guess the first thing would be to actually question that assumption, because there's a lot of audiences on Facebook. Yeah. Even. And but the nice thing is that it's when it comes to paid traffic, like there's so many opportunities. And that's why a show like yours is so great to learn about that. And that's why it's scalable wherever you start. Like the moment, whereas free traffic is not scalable. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not scalable because, you know, if we are doing well with a podcast, now we're like, okay, well, if our content's working well, now let's add YouTube. Now let's add, you know, these other channels as well. Now let's add Instagram. Like next thing you know, it's like we're creating more content and spending more time and maxing out on our own energy. Whereas paid traffic is a lot more easy to scale. So you just have to dial in on that one avenue that's working. And then as soon as you know it's working, it's like, okay, now let's go to a second one and a third one and a fourth one. Let's buy up as much inventory, as they call it, as we can. And it's just, it's an amazing thing because and here's a nice framework that I like to put out there when it comes to scaling a business. Really, there's, and this kind of makes probably the biggest point that we want to make is that there's really six places you can scale a business. The first one is, okay, yeah, certainly if you put more traffic in the front end, you're going to get more money out to the other end. But as we pointed out, that's not the ideal place. The second is you can convert more of that traffic into buyers. The third thing is you can increase the lifetime value of every buyer. So whether that means they're buying more on their first transaction, whether that means they're buying repeatedly over time, or they're referring other people in, hence increasing their value to you as a customer. The fourth way is that you can add new value. So you can create a new product. You can create a new service. I mean, every time we've come out with a new product and brought it to our list, it's made us, you know, an immense amount of money because they were solving a new problem for them. So that's another way, you know, new product lines is the fourth way. The fifth way is to increase your positioning. So and essentially this allows you to go for bigger opportunities, bigger price points, you know, bigger fish in the market. So when you are positioned through authority, whether that's because you've got crazy testimonials that you're using, whether that's because you're featured in big publications, whether that's because you're a best-selling author, you know, maybe you've been on a TV show, all those things that just give you like the mega positioning that allow you to start upping your game with pricing and opportunities, that's another way to scale. And the sixth way to scale is through systems, is that you establish the teams, the automation, the outsourcing that allow you as the entrepreneur to focus on the things that you are good at and allow other people to take care of the other things. In fact, Jeremy and I recently hired a CEO for our business for this very reason, which is something we honestly should have done 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Often the person to grow your business is not you, because you've got the vision. Like we create the content, we're the face of the business. We do the coaching. And we were hitting a ceiling there. And so it was time. So I think that's a really good framework to look at. And one of the biggest points we're making here is that people automatically assume that it's just go get free traffic is how I'm going to scale my business, which really usually it's converting more of that traffic. And the best way to test those conversions and to up those conversions is through paid traffic. So if people don't take anything else away from this episode, but going like, you know what? Maybe you just need to convert more of that traffic that you're already getting and test and tweak that in with your paid traffic. Because the moment you got those numbers dialed in, well, now it's endless. You buy as much paid traffic as you possibly can get, because you know, dependably, you're going to make $5 for every one you spend or $10 for every one you spend. So that's a really useful framework that people kind of use whenever they're looking at their business and how am I going to grow it?
Yeah,
this year.
You create that predictability. You use the word dependable there, and once you're able to create that dependable and predictable traffic coming into your sales funnel or your machine, because you have traffic coming in and you're having sales come out the other side. You mentioned about, you know, increasing conversions, looking rather at the free traffic coming in, how to get more of that, looking at how to convert the traffic that is coming in. Once you get that down, then you can sort of feed that funnel, if you will, with the paid traffic. What are some ways that you guys recommend looking at? What are some of the initial things, I should say, when you are looking at the conversions and trying to increase the conversions? Where do you recommend that people start with that?
Well, it's always easier. We like to look at this beginning of the funnel at first. Ideally, I mean, that's a classic question, because certainly Jeremy and I've sat looking at our numbers across the board and gone, okay, we could dial in our opt-in offer. We could dial in our Facebook ad copy. We could, change what the first offer is or the second offer is. Clearly you wanted to go where you can have the low-hanging fruit or the most immediate. Well, I guess there's a couple ways to look at it. Either you go with the low-hanging fruit where you can have the most immediate impact. So one thing that sometimes we do is, where can we make a change today and see the results of it very, very quickly? Mm-hmm. And we think ideally that those results are going to be big. And sometimes it's very obvious when you're looking at it. Like, for instance, for us, it was clear, and it's funny that we did this, because we had very high-end offers, $5,000, $6,000 offers back in like 2009 and 2010. And for some reason, we'd taken our focus off of that. But then we brought that back in 2014, and immediately, bam, it just had this instant effect on our overall income for the year to have, because there's just people who are ready to buy the big thing from us. There's always going to be what we like to refer to as like the Cadillac buyer on your list. And when you give them that premium thing, they're going to buy it. So that's one way to look at it, is like we'll sit down and we'll look at our funnel and we'll just kind of think like, okay, what are maybe 10 ideas of where we could change something, and which one do we think will have the most immediate and big impact? And we're essentially following our gut in that case. The other approach you can take is you go to the beginning of the funnel, because any tweak at the beginning that goes up 1%, now that funnels through everything, right? That additional 1% that are opting in affects the additional percentage that are seeing the offer, which affects the additional percentage that are buying the offer, which, and, you know, just cascades, right? It has a cascading effect throughout the whole thing. So there's no one answer, but I would say, I don't know, Jeremy, can you think of any other? Those are two ways that we look at it when we're kind of deciding where to tweak our funnels next.
Well, a lot of times too, we had things we had launched that were still viable, or we could update and launch again, that we would forget about because we were making so many products at one point. And then one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to automate that system and make these little launches evergreen.
Yeah.
So that when somebody did get into our funnel, they don't just have two things to buy and then they're just kind of sitting there waiting for something to happen, or waiting for us to launch once or twice a year some new thing, or even update something we already had. They just keep going through, you know, as you talked about the machine, people like to say, and that's where they come into your system and they've got maybe 10 things that they're going through at any given time. And just constantly having an evergreen thing. And that's what we've been focused a lot about in the last couple of years. And what we're seeing now is we have webinars and full-on launches that are evergreen and going. And then that changes a lot of things, because we had coaching courses that we would launch, let's just say, once a year. So we'd get this big influx of cash from a launch like that. But now we've got them evergreen in our system. They're going all the time. And that changes things a lot, because then rather than just simply one launch once a year, you know, we have the possibility of people at just the right time throughout the entire year being able to go through that launch. And it looks exactly the way we do it when we do it once a year, but at any time.
Sure.
And that's huge. That's a huge leveraging thing as well, because what if somebody in January is ready to go through that and we're not going to have it until October?
Right.
They might be gone and they might have bought somebody else's. You know, being able to automate, you know, our funnel at a high, high level was another huge leveraging point for us.
No, that's a really good point, because I know, Rick, you and I in a mastermind have talked about that. There's this continuous tug and pull as an entrepreneur about, do I focus on the thing that'll bring cash in the door right now, because we all need cash to stay operational, right? Or do I focus on the long-term growth things that like building out an evergreen funnel, which you might not see the immediate effects of, right? So it's like, oh, well, I'll just go and launch another product because I'd really appreciate an extra $100,000 in the bank today, right? But Jeremy brings up a very good point, right? It's basically as we look at, so like if we're looking at those 10, here are 10 things we could do today to grow our business. And that's based on that framework I gave you earlier of the six things. Is there one of these things that satisfies both of those, brings cash in the door today, and is establishing something for the future as well in terms of systems? So for instance, we are working on a new launch right now, and it's actually satisfying both bringing a new product to the market that we know that our audience wants. It's also satisfying that we're going to do a launch and bring cash in at the end of the month because of that launch. But as we plan every video, as we plan every email, as we plan the order pages and everything, we're always thinking of, can we get to the end of this launch and 80, 90% of it immediately translates into an evergreen funnel instead of having to redo everything again? Or so, you know, if we can overlap, that's another criteria that we use when deciding where to focus to up the growth of our business.
From the six things that you said, the six ways to scale a business.
Right.
Yeah. I like that. One thing that I always come up against it when I'm thinking about creating something evergreen is the is their scarcity, and doing scarcity with integrity there. What do you guys think about that when you're creating, like if you're going to be using this upcoming launch and actually creating an evergreen program out of it, where does the scarcity or does scarcity come into play there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tricky one. Certainly, I mean, one reason we're launching it at the time we are is because we want to do, yeah, and because it's a pilot program, we will have a very good reason to go, hey, this is a good deal on this. It's the first time we're launching it, but the price is going up. So we are expecting a big influence because there, as with any launch, there's a nice way to go. It's closing or this deal is going away. Sure. when it comes to evergreen stuff, I know it's really tricky. I mean, you certainly, yes, scarcity and urgency always work, but you always have to have a reason why behind it.
Yep. A legitimate reason.
We only have 100 spots because that's how many coaching students we can handle at a time. We only have, and so one of the biggest things we do, like I said, we love having the Cadillac experience, the VIP experience. Like anytime we're launching something, we're going, okay, great, this program is going to be $1,000. How do we make something that's $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 that a few people might be interested in, right? And we try to find a sweet spot in there. And we've gotten to where I'd say it's probably when we launch something, 30% take the Cadillac experience, the VIP thing, and then like 70% take the other, right? And so one way we do it is like the VIP experience, because it typically requires our team working for them, doing stuff for them. It requires us taking some consulting emails from them now again, giving feedback at specific spot. Like we have a legitimate reason of saying, well, we've only got so much space to, our team can only handle so many of these at a time. We can only handle so much, emails coming in that we're consulting on at a time. And so that's one place where we'll pull back and just say, look, as soon as there's 10, we have 10 of these right now, we're closing this and then we'll reopen it once we're able to take more. So that's one way that we do it, is it's built into, but it's priced accordingly, right? The fact that it's scarce means that it's also being priced much higher. Yeah. Other than that, you know, we'll do the webinar with a timer and just give a bonus that goes away. And, you know, this one with some crowds, it works well. And with some, it doesn't, because it does start feeling a little bit, artificial for a certain bonus to go away. But, again, like one thing we'll do with that bonus is we'll say, look, for you who buy, or for the first 20 that buy at the regular level, we'll give you this one piece of the VIP experience. So for instance, it might be, hey, we're having this webinar. It's all about buying our academy, our A to Z training for entrepreneurs. And one piece of the VIP experience is that they get our direct feedback on their niche selection, the niche that they've chosen for their business. Jeremy and I look at that and give them feedback. And that's only like one of like 15 things that the VIPs give. But what we'll do is we'll say, hey, for you at the regular level, like if you sign up, or the first 20 people that sign up, you'll get this niche selection. So it's kind of giving them a piece of that VIP. And it's easy to say, look, we can only take 20 of these because, again, it's taking up our time.
It's work, yeah.
But for those of you who are ready to buy right now, like, we're going to reward you with that fast action of giving you this slice of the VIP experience. Sure. And so it kind of backs up with the reason why. And it gives them something really hot that they're like, oh, I would love to have their feedback on that. Cause that's right up at the beginning. You got to have, like, I got to have the right niche for this all to work. So yeah. I don't know. There's a few thoughts that.
Well, and another one we do sometimes is in 2 weeks after this, after we start the launch, we'll do a Q&A webinar where they can get on and ask us literally anything. But it's timed. So look, we're actually going to do it in 2 weeks and then it's gone.
Right.
You can't fudge that. It's the, you know, like, if you want to be on live, it's really, it's you've got to sign up before that. We actually do
sign up today so you can be part of that special Q&A webinar. Yeah.
Right.
So that's another way to do it as well. And I mean, like, even if in an evergreen situation, if you did that once a month or something and you wanted to be able to have that live thing once a month, you could do that if you wanted as well.
Sure. Sure. I want to kind of go back to that evergreen, talking about the evergreen, creating that system. And I like how you put this. I've heard you guys call it a choose your own adventure, kind of that choose your own adventure style automated marketing system. And that's what we're talking about here with the evergreen, where we get people into the funnel and then move them towards, you know, spending increasing amounts of money with you that are where they're consuming products and consuming information from you that is relevant to the point that they're at in their business. Mm-hmm. And I love how you, let's talk more about that whole choose your own adventure. I love that. I love that description.
So yeah, this is a really high leverage thing that anybody listening right now could do to up their game early on in the funnel as well. As Jeremy kind of indicated before, like, at any given time, you have somebody that comes in and they're hot and ready to go. And they want to take action on something now. Now when that person lands on our homepage, we're trying to get them often on to opt in, like in the sidebar. And if you look at the opt-ins on many people's homepage site, because the traffic is so general there, it could be coming from any number of places. You know, we're typically casting a little bit of a wider net in order to try to, you know, here's something that hopefully a good number of people who visit our site are going to be able to, are going to go, yeah, I got to have that. So I'm going to give my email. The truth of the matter is, though, everybody's hitting your site with a different hot button in their mind. And I think, you know, anybody who's been doing their business for a little while has an idea. And when I mean hot button, I'm just saying those top five urgent things that they think they got to have. Mm-hmm. So I'll just take our business as an example, beginning entrepreneurs. Some of them are thinking, and this is what they want, not what they need, right? So some people are thinking, man, if I just had traffic, I'd start making money. And it might be silly because they don't even have a site yet, or they don't even have a product yet, or they don't even have their niche or proper niche chosen yet, right? But that's just what's on their mind. So obviously with that person, the path or the adventure that they're ready to go on is, let's hook them in with something about, okay, fast early traffic that's not going to cost you a lot of money. And we might teach them about Twitter or something like that. Something else might show up and, like, man, if I just had the right idea for my business and knew that it would be profitable, then I'd be ready to go. So the point being, really, there's, you know, at any given point, there's, you probably list 10 to 20 hot buttons, but I would guess that for most businesses, about five of those hot buttons, you're going to get 80% of the people that are your ideal intended market. So the point being is, what you want your funnel to be set up like, at least at the very early stages, and this goes for the ad that drives to a landing page, that drives to a specific opt-in, this is what we call a minimum viable funnel. And we call it that because we asked ourselves, okay, use a fishing analogy, if we're going fishing and throwing a hook and bait into a pond, any fisherman knows that on any given day you have different fish and they're responding to different bait, right? And not to, like, reduce people to fish and bait, but, you know, the analogy works pretty well, is that if you want to capture the maximum number of fish, you got to be prepared with the bait that they're going to bite on that day. And so if you can set up, the great thing with, like, paid traffic is, if you put an ad that's hyper specific to a hot button and somebody clicks on that ad, you have a pretty good idea of what's the hot button on top of their mind, because they just responded to an ad that spoke to that hot button. So now if you just carry that through to the right landing page and the right opt-in, that combination right there is the minimum viable funnel. So if you can come up, and so we asked ourselves, how fast can we launch these little minimum funnels so we can figure out as quickly as possible what the hot buttons are in our marketplace? And those hot buttons are constantly shifting. So you want to be able to test things very, very quickly.
Right.
In a matter of like a week or two, can I have something up and see some numbers in terms of the ad, the opt-in rate, and the uptake rate on me? You know, you can go as far as like a cheap $10 product, but really all you need is like the ad and the opt-in rate to kind of tell you about a minimum viable funnel. Now, the truth is all five of those minimum viable funnels lead into our academy training in the end. But up front, we're allowing them to go down whichever garden path, whichever choose your own adventure path it is that is hot in their mind right now that leads them ultimately to the end goal of, I want to build an internet business, so hence I need to buy the academy. But we got to meet them where they're at first. Hook them what they want, and then we can start leading them to where they need to go within our system. So high leverage thing that anybody to do can today listening to this can do is think, okay, if I've only got one opt-in and it's too broad, how can I quickly test one or two or three or four or five hot button opt-in things that kick off those choose your own adventure paths? And so what that means is on the front end, you have a different, again, ad, landing page, the thing that they're opting in for, and a series of autoresponder emails that specifically speak to that hot button, but eventually bring them around to kind of your flagship offer that you want them to buy.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple different ways to come up with that, come up with those the hot button topics, as you put it really well, Jason. Is that you could make some assumptions. You could come up with a list of four to five assumptions that you think that the people coming into or they're looking for more information with you and your business are going to be interested in. Or you could do some sort of a survey of, if you have an existing email list, you could have a survey sent out. Or you could send a survey out and try to figure out what some of those hot buttons are. Is that kind of what you, how do you guys figure out what those hot buttons are?
Yeah, the survey is a huge thing. Like letting your audience tell you exactly what their issues are is a massive thing. Like I always get excited when it's time to let them not only tell us what their issues are, but tell us what products they want.
Yeah.
We don't guess on anything. We let our people directly tell us and even like tell us pretty detailed on what they would even want in the product so that we're not, just kind of coming up with something, and we don't want to, spend all this time and effort on something that ends up not being what people want. And nowadays you could just ask. It's so much easier now than ever before. And in fact, in certain parts of our funnels, we let them directly tell. It might even be simply a question, are you this or this? And then it'll send them down different funnels based on what they answer so that we can keep it in our system. You know, if they click this, they're just automatically, we don't have to deal with any of it. They're just automatically put in this other place. And with our action guides and stuff, we started by just doing a survey, by just literally asking, we'd been doing this for quite a while once we finally got to doing this. So we would start with, let's say, five questions that we knew people had been asking, and then we would add an other and let them fill in the blank. And then we'd, have our VA try and sort those out to see if there was maybe a sixth, or maybe they weren't clicking one of the five and they were all saying this other thing. Mm, yeah. And so then we'd go, okay, well, now that's going to move up into that top, maybe even top three. And I mean, it starts out just as simple as that, letting them filter themselves that way. And then it made it really easy. Like one of the surveys we did, one of the first things people were thinking when they would come in would be, how quickly can I make online income? Okay, so we make an action guide called 30 Days to Online Income.
Yeah.
And then number two, once we got that up and it was really doing well, the next one was this term called freedom lifestyle, right? Everybody wants to know, how do I have a freedom lifestyle? Okay, the ultimate guide to creating your freedom lifestyle. Right. And then that becomes a minimum viable funnel. And we check that out and we're just letting them tell us what to make next and then testing it. Right. Like then we want to test and make sure that really is what they're interested in. But it's really exciting to just let them do it. And then we're just basically building funnels around where they are. Like some people, they had, they were having problems overcoming the fear of starting a business. There's a lot of fears that people have around it. So if that's what they do, then we, all of our funnel talks about fears and overcoming those fears. And of course, like Jason said, they all end up in the academy once we get them, we help them process through those fears. Or maybe it's, hey, I heard you got to write an ebook. okay, well, even though that's not generally what we first say, we'll start with them there, show them how we do it, but then also say, that comes actually fourth, we bring them into the academy. And that's what Jason was saying. We start with what they need we start with what they think they want.
Yeah.
But then we give them that, or we give them the knowledge from that, but then we start showing them and kind of molding them to help them know that really what you need is this, and what you want is third, or maybe it is first, but maybe it's fifth. I don't know. But we show them and help them direct it by their own thoughts. Yeah. They choose the way, which is why the choose your own adventure thing is so exciting, and we've seen it really help our business, letting them decide instead of us figuring, oh, here's how you should go through our funnel.
I love that. And you guys have an email funnel program, right? Is everything that we're talking about here, do you guys teach that in the program?
Yeah, we got to the point where, I mean, we had enough people who had gone through our academy and they were had success, and now they were to the point of like, okay, well, how do I now grow this thing, right? And so we're like, okay, well, we're going to teach you how to take this all to the next level. So everything like minimum viable funnels, and we'll just show you what we're doing, minimum viable funnels, and how to survey your audience, and how to make hot button opt-ins, and then where to put these hot button opt-ins, and how to make and to drive this, and then how to come up with the high-end course offerings, as well as the low end and the mid flagship offer, so that all these pieces work together. And we were basically showing them again how Jeremy and I sit down, and every few months ago, how are we going to go to the business to the next level? Here are the things that we consider, and here's how we take action on those things to start building out systems that grow. And we've given a pretty good insight as to kind of what those what those things are at a very high level that you need to start considering in order to grow to the next level.
Are these modules? Are these video modules? Tell me a little bit more about the course.
Yeah, the course is 12 modules in the end. It ended up being, there's a lot to cover. So it it basically walks through like, okay, well, how do you figure out what the hot buttons are? Okay, now how do we figure out what the opt-in is going to be? Okay, what should that first product be in the choose your own adventure? Okay, now how do you take that minimum viable funnel and make sure it all points to your flagship offer? And then it talks about autoresponder email sequences, which in the course we like referring to as conversation loops, because all of this really goes back to the old copywriting adage, enter the conversation that's already going on in their mind, right? And every single little step in your funnel, whether it's a landing page, whether it's an email, whether it's the ad itself, whatever that next thing is, you're just asking yourself, what's the most logical next thing that needs to occur in this conversation with this particular prospect, given what I know about them, given what I know about where they came from in the traffic, and where, what their conversation must be in their mind. What's the next best thing that I can deliver to them to start guiding them down the garden path to where I want them to go? And so it's in the end, the goal is to have evergreen systems with several hot buttons on the front end, several minimum viable funnels that those go into that all funnel into a flagship product. And then after that, start moving people up what we call an ascension ladder, where they're spending increasingly higher amounts with you, but also getting increasingly higher levels of value from you as well. And so that's why, now we've got programs, we've got everything. I think you should have a 1-to-1,000 price ratio. We've got products that are $7 and we've got products that are $6,000. Mm-hmm. So, that's where you've got a business that can really scale and bring the kind of lifetime value per customer that you need. It's about taking the money off the table. We're all leaving money on the table. So the question is, let's identify the biggest holes and start plugging them so that we can keep more of that money in our business.
Yeah. I want to send people to check the course out here before I give the URL. I want to ask this question as far as segmenting, because we're talking a lot about segmenting and sending people down different paths. In order for people to get the most out of this program here, do they have to be using a system like Infusionsoft or Entreport, or can they be using AWeber or MailChimp? And I understand as we're recording this, excuse me, I can't talk right now. As we're recording this, these systems like AWeber are coming out with more advanced kind of segmenting opportunities now. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, we had students who took this course for the first time about 18 months ago, and they were just using AWeber and MailChimp, and they were able to make it work. And now it's just gotten easier. And then some of them are using things like there's ConvertKit, and then some of them are using Infusionsoft as well. certainly like the biggest power of what you're going to get is Infusionsoft, but we're not going to tell you, you got to go and buy Infusionsoft right now. We're going to say, no, get this stuff working with what you've got. And then obviously as you start making more profits and scaling that out, at some point you'll want to upgrade it when it makes sense. But yeah, you don't have to start with something like Infusionsoft by any means.
Cool. Cool. So if you guys would like to check out Jeremy and Jason's program here from Internet Business Mastery, go to rickmulready.com/IBM funnel to check that out. I'll make sure to link that up in the show notes page for today's episode. Guys, this has been really great. And I always love talking about, of course, feeding that initial part of the sales funnel, but also, all right, how do we increase the number of conversions of that or for that traffic that's coming into our sales funnel and really create that evergreen, I love as you call it, that choose your own adventure style in your business. And sort of my last point on that, in thinking about the evergreen, creating an evergreen system out of it, it really takes care of the, would you agree that it took care of almost three things? And that I'm looking at the list of, I took the notes here as you were talking about that, Jason, six ways to scale your business. It sort of takes care of the increase in lifetime value, conversions, and creating the system in your business.
Right. Well, and really when you apply the kind of system that we've talked about today, yeah, it does hit quite a few of those across the board. Obviously you can put more traffic in the front and scale when you've got your back end all figured out, because the higher lifetime value per customer, it means the higher lifetime value per lead, means the more money you can spend on ads, meaning the more money you can buy, the more traffic you can buy, right? Sure. In terms of conversions, the better you enter the conversation in the mind of your prospect, the higher your conversions are going. And that's what Choose Your Own Adventure is all about. The third one, the lifetime value. Well, if you've got that 1-to-1,000 ratio and an automated system that guides them down a garden path from product to product, then you go from having customers worth $50 to having customers worth $5,000. We've got customers who've spent over $10,000 with us. That's an immense power to have that. The fourth one, adding new value. It's like, okay, well, what, like we said, we're launching a new product, but we're thinking about, well, how do we plug this into our conversation machine once it's all done, it's said and done. So that's how this all fits into that. As far as positioning, I guess, I don't know, that maybe that's the one that this doesn't as directly relate to,
right?
But it relates to the sixth one, which is systems that allow you to focus more on what you're doing. For us, it's the teaching and creating the new value. While now we've got a team who build these systems out for us, so it's pretty much hitting every one of those across the board. And so, you know, that's why it's really compounded scalability in a business when you understand that framework and apply it properly.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you, Rick, one of the things that this all came from was a friend that I had. You know, maybe we got like 5 or 6 years ago, who. He was looking at our business and going, wow, you guys are really doing well, making some money. But when you're ready to create wealth, then you need a whole different way of thinking about this. Like, we were still on the, you know, we were doing really well financially, but it was still a survival method. Like, every month we're trying to figure out what's next. And we hadn't created these, you know, this basically this automated income machine to make it so we could create wealth where it's coming in automatically, right? Like, that's what we wanted, is this evergreen thing where we don't have to constantly be launching, which becomes kind of a treadmill of, oh man, we got to launch again.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a continuous thing. Plus, we didn't understand, you know, how to understand even these conversions, because I was telling him the same thing. And this is a guy who makes 200, you know, his business was doing 200 million a year with information products.
Wow.
So he knew all these systems. And again, he was looking, going, yeah, you're doing really, it was almost like he wasn't this, because he's really awesome. It's almost like patting us on the head. You guys are cute. That's cute.
Exactly what I was picturing.
You've got it started. But when you're ready to actually create wealth, that's a whole different thing. That means you need to start leveraging and automating and playing at a higher level where you're letting the customer tell you all of this kind of stuff. And since then, we've been really dedicated to, you know, not only figuring this out for ourselves, but once we did figure it out really well, then, you know, showing other people how to do it and then watching them what worked for them as well, and keep adding and adjusting and making it, you know, grow bigger and bigger. So that, because he was saying to me, I said, he asked me, his name's Tom, he asked me, what is your biggest problem? And I said, traffic. And he's like, wrong, right. Wrong. It's everything past that. Cause you guys are already getting traffic. Cause I was like, oh, we kind of hit a ceiling with this free traffic stuff. And he's like, well, you know, like you need to build this backend stuff before you can even make paid traffic work. So let's do that with the traffic you have. And that's where this all started, was with the idea of, you know, how do we take this traffic first and then, you know, do major things with it so that we could come out. And what we ended up doing is, as you, obviously, you know, Rick, we teamed up with you and you helped us with our paid traffic stuff.
Right,
and
right.
Then we saw, oh my gosh, our backend is kicking butt with paid traffic,
right.
But we had to have that, you know, like, you know, that basic system. And that's what we teach now after years and years of adjusting and making this massive and completely changing our lives, because, you know, then we're not constantly on that old treadmill of, you know, how do I get that one lead?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love that. So rickmulready.com/IBM funnel is where to go to check out Jeremy and Jason from Internet Business Mastery's email funnel program. Great, great program. Where else can people connect with you guys?
Well, you can always check out the show, internetbusinessmastery.com, and listen to the show where we, every week, we've got information coming out online about how to grow your freedom business. We've been doing this 10 years now. In fact, we just had our 10th anniversary, which is insane to think about. We were the very first internet business podcast ever. Now there's like 5,000 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys and just a lot did an episode. Students. You just did an episode of what lessons that you've learned over 10 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Good stuff. It is on my must listen every single week. So whenever I'm at the gym, we'll definitely listen to you guys. So it's great to have you guys on this show. Really appreciate you guys coming on. And I'll be sure to link up all the links here in the show notes for today's episode. So thanks again, guys. Really appreciate you.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, thanks for having us on.
All right. Hope you enjoy this one, Jason and Jeremy. Always a good time talking with those guys. If you'd like to learn more about and check out their email funnel program that we talked about today, just head over to rickmulready.com/IBM funnel. That's IBM funnel. I'll also have that link as well as all the other links that we talked about today over on the show notes page, which is at rickmulready.com/65. Thanks again for tuning into today's episode. Really appreciate you guys listening. We've got a lot more coming your way in the next episode. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.